Well, as Job said, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. Or however he said it, I probably just misquoted it. Am I not on? Well, I didn't do nothing to it. So I'm good though, right? All right. Well, y'all pray for me. He's got me wound up. Because I am I'm very nervous in one sense because I don't really know which direction to go. Yes. I'm just being honest. Yes, sir. I had a thought on my heart, and Brother Joe Bryant preached it last night. Same text.
Amen.
But yesterday morning I woke up with a thought on my heart. That I've already went over before. I went over in Sunday school. I've never actually preached it, but I went over it in Sunday school. And I was trying to pray over a while ago because I honestly didn't expect him to ask me to preach. He just asked me back there a while ago in the hallway. So prompt too, I suppose, but that was on my mind and it may not seem like it fits, but I'm going to try to deliver what I feel like the Lord has got on my heart right now. So turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I may stumble and fumble, and I may do no more than just comment on a few thoughts out of this, what I wrote down. This has been a year ago. August 23rd, 23 is what the date I got on there. I'll just read these first two verses and I'll pray and then I'll try to give you my thought here. And 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 is where I'll read. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I apologize, I didn't really have to read that second verse because my thoughts right there out of the first verse. But The thought that the Lord gave me last year on this comes from the first verse there toward the end. Says, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And the thought that God gave me out of this whole context of David and Bathsheba is the consequence of becoming complacent in your calling.
Yeah.
The consequence of becoming complacent in your calling. And if the Lord will help me, I'll try to deliver these few thoughts that He gave me last year on this chapter. And I may not be very long, but y'all bear with me and I'll try to deliver my thought here. But bow with me now. Father, I do thank You so much for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Thank You for Your many, many wonderful blessings that You bless us with each and every day. Father, I do pray for those that are traveling today on back to their where You've called them unto. I pray that You'd please keep them safe. I pray for us here in the auditorium that You would please give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the Word of God. And Father, I do need You something fierce. I pray that You'd please help me to deliver the message as You want it to be delivered, not in my power, but in Your power. Pray that You would have all the preeminence in the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So these thoughts that the Lord gave me last year out of this context with David and Bathsheba, the story, well, it's not just a story, but it really happened. David, he's tarrying back at Jerusalem. He's done anointed king, and he's got all this possessions, but God's put him in this position, and he's ruler over Israel, but he tarries still at Jerusalem. He becomes complacent in his calling, what God's called him to do. He's not out there on the battlefield. You see in the first verse right there in chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle." David was the king of Israel, and it was a time for the kings to be out to battle.
Right.
But he wasn't out to battle.
Yep.
He was tarrying still at Jerusalem. He was laid back. Matter of fact, on down in the chapter there, it says that he was resting. He was asleep. Verse 2, "And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed." So he's laid up in the bed. He's supposed to be out there on the battlefield, but he's laid up in the bed. And he rises up and goes out, walks on the roof, and that's when he sees Bathsheba bathing herself, and it gets him into all kinds of trouble. We know the whole story here, and not every one of us in here are very familiar with the story of David and Bathsheba. And I'm not really emphasizing so much that as I'm emphasizing him being complacent in his calling. He's not fulfilling his duty that he was called to do. He was the king of Israel, and it was a time when kings are supposed to be out on the battlefield.
Right.
We that are born again have been made kings and priests,
right,
and we are in a battle for the Lord.
Right.
Now, we understand that the battle belongs to the Lord, but we're participants in this battle.
Right.
We are the footmen, if you will, and men of God are the watchmen on the wall. They're the mouthpiece. They are to be in their place, in their position, and not become complacent in that. And David, number one, David commits the sin of adultery in verses 2 through 4.
Yep.
First in his heart, and then in his mind.
Yep.
Then it physically manifests itself out.
Yep.
So this being complacent in your calling can cause some of the worst sins to develop and manifest in your life. You may not think it's very much, "Oh, I'm just taking ease. I'm just taking ease. I'm just laid back. You know, I've been at this for so many years. I've been battling for the Lord. I've been serving the church. I've been ministering to others for so many years. Can I just kick back, kick my feet up for a little while?" It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's becoming complacent in our calling. That don't only just go for preachers. That goes for the individual members of the body of Christ, the local assembly of the church here. You get complacent in your calling. You're asking for a situation, for things to manifest that ought not to be. Sins to come in your life. Not necessarily the sin of adultery. God forbid that happen. But we know that to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right.
So even if you're just complacent in your calling, that's the sin of omission.
Yep.
That's still a sin. Now we judge it, well, it's not as bad as adultery. No, it ain't, but it's nevertheless it's neglecting your post.
Right.
It's not being faithful to your post that God's called you into. Number two, committing sin and inferring with the battle, interfering with the battle by beginning to cover his tracks in verses 6 through 7. He began to cover his tracks. He covered his sin. I'll read that, verses 6 and 7. "And David sent Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered." He commanded Joab to call Uriah there, and we know Uriah is Bathsheba's husband.
Right.
So he pulls him out of the battle.
Yep.
So he's not only the sin of adultery, but he he's a stumbling block for someone else that's out there in the battle.
Yep.
Our complacency in our calling can cause others, we can be a stumbling block, to others when we're not fulfilling our position, our post, our duty to God as men of God and church members, Sunday school teachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, whatever God's called you into, if we become complacent, we can be a stumbling block to those. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So then David commits the sin of lying in verse 12. And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today and also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. But we know that David didn't let Uriah depart. He held him there again because he was trying to get him to, you know, lie with his wife to cover his tracks. He tried to cover his tracks.
Yep.
He tried to do that, but that you can't sin and get away with it.
No.
Even if it's the sin of commission and the sin of omission, in the fact that you're neglecting your duty as a servant of God. If you're complacent in your calling, you will not. Even if you think you cover it up, you're not going to get away with it.
Right.
David tried to cover it up, tried to lie and cover his tracks right there in verse 12. David commits the sin by putting strong drink to his neighbor's mouth in verse 13. And when David had called him, he did eat. Called him, that was Uriah. David called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. David was trying to get him drunk.
Yep.
So he not only tried to cover his sin, he not only committed adultery, not only tried to, he lied, not only tried to cover his sin, but he committed the sin of causing his putting strong drink to his neighbor's mouth. We know that's a sin.
Yes, sir.
And here we got the King David doing that.
Yep.
The King of Israel, man after God's own heart.
Yep.
You know, we as men of God that are preachers ought to be a man after God's own heart. Even the individual, just Christian, just a born again believer, ought to be an individual after God's own heart. That's what we're to strive toward. We're all toward to strive toward the high calling to be like Christ. That's the high calling, is to be like Christ. Pattern our life after Christ. And then in verse 14 and 15, he commits murder. He not only commits adultery, commits the sin of lying, commits the sin of putting strong drink to his neighbor's mouth, commits the sin of trying to cover his sin, commits the sin of murder in verses 14 and 15. And it came to pass when in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." So he commanded Joab to take Uriah out there and set him in the hottest part of the battle, and then said, "Back off of him. Let him try to take it all." Because he knew that he would be overcome. He knew that he would be consumed by the enemy and die. David said, "That's how I'm going to cover it right there. I can get it covered that way. I just get Uriah out there, get him dead, and then I can take his wife, and this thing will be hidden, and no one will ever know it.
Yeah.
I can go on my merry way." Well, we all know the rest of the story.
Right.
He didn't. His sins did not get covered.
Nope.
The Lord exposed them. Caused Joab to be partaker in the sin of murder. And caused the deaths of more than just Uriah.
Yep.
He not only murdered Uriah, but he caused Joab to be partaker in that murder. And he lost valuable men of his army, of the Lord's army, Israel's army. He lost valuable men because he was trying to cover his sin. If we as the people of God, men of God, try to cover our sins in our complacency can cause casualties to others around us. We need to be very careful. Very careful in the way we conduct ourselves and the way we obey. We need to be very obedient to the Lord. That's been preached so much through this meeting. Been emphasized a lot. So, 18 through 24, I got summarize 18, 20 through 4. That's what I got read. By telling about how Joab told the messengers that if King David was upset about how the battle went, to tell him that Uriah was dead, the messengers skipped waiting and just told him that Uriah was dead. This was bad. This was bad news and a big waste of time in the battle. But it didn't affect David this way at all. It didn't affect David at all. He was expecting that bad news, right. But that bad news was going to be good news to him,
right.
Because he was thinking, "That's covered. I'm good to go. Nobody's going to find this out."
Yep.
But it was bad news,
yep.
And it was a big waste of time during the battle. We don't need time short. It's been said so much about time being short, and the Lord could come back at any moment. The coming of the Lord is imminent. I mean, it's immediate. It could happen right now.
Yep.
So we don't need to be fooling around. Don't need to be wasting time.
Right.
We don't need to be wasting time. And we don't need to become complacent in our calling, whatever that calling may be. I see David had the same spirit about him as Hezekiah. When Hezekiah said, David said, "So long as his sin was covered," I'm paraphrasing David's words, "so long as his sin," David that is, "was covered and all was well with him, nobody else mattered."
Right.
His brethren didn't matter.
Yep.
Not even his brethren mattered. The children of God, the people of God there at Israel, that didn't even matter. The people that he's supposed to be ruler over, the people that he's supposed to be king over, at that moment, they didn't even matter. As long as his sin was covered, that's all that mattered at the moment.
Right.
And that was, I seen the correlation there with Hezekiah when he got the news that he was going to have 15 more years. He said, "Good is the word of the Lord, so long as I have peace in my days."
Right.
Just like what David's doing here. He's like, "Oh, that's good news. Though it's bad news, it's good to me because nobody's going to find this out." It seems his tracks are covered and all is well for David, verses 26 and 27. But be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
Numbers 32:23.
Yep.
Nathan reveals to David that he has not only committed the sin of murder, but has also committed the sin of despising the commandment of the Lord.
Right.
And the sin of stealing what was not his.
Yep.
Chapters 12, 1 through 9 reveal that. Especially in verse 9. We can read that. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Nathan's revealing to him, "You've despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword, and the sword of the children of Ammon. So here Nathan confronts him and conveys to him the word of God, in where he despised the commandment of the Lord, and he murdered Uriah, and he took Bathsheba. He took what was not his.
Right.
Why I wrote that. He took what was not his. What was not his. Yes, I'm saying that right. It don't sound right right now, but I'm saying it right. It was revealed that he had committed the sin of putting himself above the Lord. Despise means to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of. That's what despise means. So when he despised the commandment of the Lord, he's scorning the commandment of the Lord. He's disdaining it. He's saying that's just his opinion. If you want to say it that way, he's saying, well, that's just an opinion. That's not really the Lord's commandment. But he despised the commandment of the Lord there. God declares the consequence of his sin will be fully exposed before all Israel and before the sun in chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. David acknowledges his sin and is given assurance that his life will be spared in verse 13. Because he has brought reproach against Israel, his child will die.
Yep.
So we can't, when we become complacent in our calling, in our position that God's placed us in, there's a lot of bad things that can take place.
Right.
There's a lot of sin that can come out of that. And we can be a cause of stumbling block for others, have a lot of casualties of the people of God. And if you're doing that, if you're complacent in your calling, the Holy Spirit will convict you of that, reveal that to you, especially if you try to cover it up.
Right.
Just like David did here. But you can rest assured that if you confess it, that you will be forgiven. And that your life will be spared. There might be other casualties, just like this right here. He said, because he has brought, this Lord telling David, because he has brought a reproach against Israel, his child will die.
Yep.
You know, that's in verse 14, chapter 12, verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So whatever you was complacent in, whatever sin that you found yourself in, there may be some casualty of it, repercussions of it. But the Lord goes on through Nathan the prophet, declare that his life will be spared.
Amen.
Those consequences are not going to be wiped away. That stigma is stuck with David through
yep.
the years.
Yep.
But thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness.
Amen.
And I was explaining this earlier to my two oldest children about forgiveness. It's a choice that you got to make.
Yeah.
And when God forgives you, it's a choice He makes
right.
to forgive you. But it's conditioned upon you confessing and asking for it.
Right.
You've got to confess your sins and
yep.
you've got to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
Just like we do. When we do wrong to someone, we've got to ask them to forgive us. And it's on their shoulders to forgive us. It's
yep.
not on, we can do our part, but it's on their part. The rest of it's on their part. But our duty is to, we can't forget. We never forget things. We've got to choose to remember them no more.
Yeah.
That's what God does. That's what God did when He forgave you of your sin. He chose to remember them no more.
Yeah.
He cannot forget, but rather He chooses to remember them. He don't remember them, put them back together.
Right.
He don't recollect them.
Yeah.
He don't bring them back up. If they're brought back up in your mind, it's because either you're digging them up
yep.
or Satan's throwing them back at you,
right.
trying to keep you oppressed. And the sins you commit after you're saved, if they're unconfessed, the Holy Spirit can be bringing them up.
Yeah.
But if you've confessed them and got forgiveness, the Holy Spirit's not going to bring them up.
Right.
You may be bringing them up. Satan may be bringing them up, but the Holy Spirit's not going to bring them up again. You can rest assured that if God forgives you, He will never bring them up again.
Amen.
And David had a true repentant heart after it was conveyed to him revealed to him, he was convicted that he had sinned against the Lord. It wasn't so much. He had sinned against Israel, and he had brought a reproach upon the God of Israel. And he sinned against his fellow man and all that. But it was the root of it was he sinned against God. He became complacent in his calling that God placed him in. He had set him, he had called him, he had anointed him king of Israel. And he got lax in that. He got complacent in his calling. So David was not in his place. He neglected his post, his calling. God had anointed him king and appointed him to rule over Israel, and he neglected his place. It was clearly a time when kings went forth to battle and David didn't go. Back in 1 Samuel 17, he was ready for the battle. He was ready to go. He went out and slew Goliath. He was ready to go out there. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he's like, oh, I'll just sit and take ease today. I'll just lay back, kick my feet up. Ain't time to get complacent in the battle. There's a battle to be fought. There's a battle to be won.
Amen.
And we know that we are on the winning side for sure. We will win in the end. Assuredly. If you're on the Lord's side, we will. We've already won. But there's a spiritual warfare right now that's going on. I think a lot of people's oblivious to it. I'm of the opinion of that, especially the way they talk and they don't think. Well, I'll leave it alone. They don't think about things. I'll just say that. Here in this text, in verse 11, chapter 11, I got it wrote wrong. Chapter 11, verse 2, he was on his bed resting while his men were fighting the battle. So where has God appointed you? Where is your calling in the battle? Are you a pastor? Are you a Sunday school teacher, missionary, evangelist, just church member? Or what about just a husband and a wife? A father and a mother. Those are callings.
Yep.
Those are callings. Don't become complacent in them. You know, I ain't going to read that because that don't fit with my thought right now. I believe I'll just end it right there. Don't become complacent in your calling. I'll connect this. This is an old thought trying to connect to today. It's hard to preach old thoughts. I'm finding that out. I think about Naaman's wife's little maid. I'll read that. Naaman's wife's little maid. She was just a child, just a young lady in 2 Kings chapter 5. But she was faithful to her post even when she was their servant. But she was faithful to her post.
Amen.
A little messenger maid is what I called her. A little messenger maid. She didn't complain about her position. She wasn't complacent in her position.
Yep.
She was committed to her
Amen.
Position. And she was faithful in her position.
Yep.
And we know that she told Naaman's wife about there's a God in Israel. Paraphrasing the whole thing, but that was the root of it.
Yep.
No, she's talking about the prophet in Israel.
Right.
But her trust was in God, the God of Israel, not the prophet, but the God of the prophet.
Amen.
And she relayed that message. She was faithful in her position that she was called into. She wasn't complacent. And we see the outcome of that. Naaman was healed of his leprosy. So let us be faithful in our calling and not complacent in our calling. Because it's a great casualty. There's great casualties becoming complacent in our calling. So I believe that's where the Lord wants me to stop. So I encourage everyone not to be complacent in your calling. Whatever calling God's placed you in, don't be complacent in it. Amen.